Welcome to my platform, metro.co.uk's new podcast, where we speak to the authors of some of our first person and opinion section's most read articles of the past few years. My platform is all about drawing attention to underheard and underrepresented voices in the media, talking about issues close to their heart. Hosted by me, Jess Austin. I edit the section of Metro that all of our lovely guests submitted their pieces to. As well as being among the most popular articles, they're also some of my absolute favourites, and I can't wait to speak to the authors more about what inspired them, unhindered by a pesky word count. In this series, we'll be having thought-provoking discussions about issues like the pension gap, pretty privilege, and drag queens performing for kids. We'll also be shining a light on people's lived experience, covering adoption, HIV diagnoses, and finding love after loss. This week, we're welcoming Layla Wozier to the podcast. Layla is a musician, writer, and author of book Not Quite White. And today, we're going to be discussing their piece, Why Are White Women Celebrated When They Fake Tan, But I Was Bullied for Being Brown? Hi, Layla, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing, Jess?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. So your piece was a really powerful read, made some really brilliant points, and I think got a lot of people thinking about their own privilege and addressing something they probably hadn't thought of much before. I know I certainly did. And you started your piece with a really strong memory of being 12 years old and witnessing girls at school applying fake tan. Can you retell that story for people who haven't read your piece?
Yeah, I just remember really viscerally being in the girls' locker room at school, watching not just the girls in my year, but all the older girls sort of just ritualistically slapping on fake tan, especially before like PE lessons or games lessons, where they were then going to go see like the boys from their year or be, you know, wearing their PE kit rather than their normal school uniform. And it was just this sort of mass activity that everybody partook in and nobody really discussed or explained. And I found it so odd and surreal. Nobody used fake tan in my house at home. And so I just didn't really understand what was going on. And then when I sort of understood what this was, it just seemed like such a weird activity to me. And I don't think I've ever fully got past that initial weirdness of like, hang on, what? You put this stuff, like weird paint stuff on your skin, and then you are a colour that you aren't? Like what? It doesn't seem such an alien concept to me at that point.
You were 12 years old and you knew you felt uncomfortable. Did you know why you felt uncomfortable, or did that take a couple of years to figure out why you were like, this is incredibly problematic?
I don't think I understood it in as much detail as I do now as an adult, obviously, and able to articulate more complex ideas. But I was at that point bullied a lot at school, the majority of which was focused on my appearance, and a lot of that was focused on my skin. I'd received bullying in primary school about like being the colour of poo, or like, why are you the same colour as like the rubbish? And I think I'd already learned being my skin colour was quote unquote bad through the way I'd been approached. And so when I saw people, especially like these girls in the locker room, becoming more brown, I was a bit like, why are you doing this? Like, you're just going to get bullied by the boys. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you want that? And then obviously they didn't get bullied. And so it was a bit, that created like a second level of confusion beyond just the level of like, why are you being a different colour? This is weird.
And it's not so much that, that they weren't being bullied for changing their skin colour, but they were also actively praised for it. And how did that make you feel?
Yeah, I think it was just a very confusing set of beauty standards in general during that time period, which is, it's quite odd at the moment where like a lot of noughties, especially early noughties trends are like back in fashion. And I do remember it felt like there was a right and wrong way to be tanned. So a lot of people would get kind of dragged in tabloids for being fake tanned in the wrong way. But then other people, it was like, look how healthy they look. And I never could understand like what are the lines, what is the sort of syllabus of how tanned is supposed to be that everyone is working to. And obviously when I was older and could understand the issues, it was like, oh, okay, you know, racism. We like white people who are brown and not brown people who are brown. Yeah, at that early age, I didn't fully understand it, and it just created a very confusing environment, which in the middle of which I was trying to make sense of myself as just a 12-year-old, you know, growing up, figuring out who they are.
And there were so many standout lines in your piece, but one that I thought really set the tone of the article was, while people of colour face violence for how we look, white people use our appearances as a fashion trend. And as you mentioned, a lot of the trends from the early noughties are coming back into style, but hopefully with the view that, you know, people have started realizing that cultural appropriation is not great and that blackfishing is problematic. But do you think that fake tanning has somehow like slipped under the radar? People haven't put two and two together and realized that actually fake tanning, which is a very profitable industry, is still going strong?
I feel like there's a few sort of cognitive dissonances where fake tan is concerned. I think a lot of people now, particularly like women who are sort of engaged in like these cultural conversations, or a bit of a weird word for it, but just sort of ongoing discourse around beauty trends, a lot of people are aware of cultural appropriation. They know what that is. They have an understanding of what that means. A lot of people are aware of blackfishing, what's wrong with that, who's doing it, that kind of thing. So I think there are elements that people are more aware of. I think in terms of like just a straight up and down the line where fake tan is concerned, should we use fake tan or not? There doesn't seem to be a clear consensus. And I think a lot of people have a cognitive dissonance between like people who are blackfishing that they can sort of see or look at and be like, that is objectively wrong. And then maybe their own relationship with fake tan, where it's not really something they've considered. Where the whole fake tan thing came from for me was talking to my followers, and I never expected it to be a really big conversation. And the first time I'd mentioned it, it was just an offhand comment about Ariana Grande. And I was like, has anyone noticed Ariana Grande does not look white anymore? Like, what's going on? This is a few years back. And it turned into this massive thing where people had so much to talk about, and so many people were getting in touch with like their fake tan journeys. And like, my mum brought me into fake tan when I was 7, and it's never been, not been a part of my routine, and da da da. And it's like this thing that's so ingrained that if you're objectively talking about like, you know, people using fake tan to basically use brown face in a film or something, they can say like, yes, clearly that is wrong. We shouldn't be doing that. But when it comes to them and their own usage of fake tan, there is just this sort of gap of understanding. And I think for some people, it just genuinely is a very difficult thing to take on board. That's something they have not really felt they've had a choice in, maybe, or something that they just feel is so a part of how they live their life. Could be something that has harmful repercussions, or something that seems quite insidious could be causing some other issues under the surface. Just seems a very difficult thing for a lot of people to reckon with, and therefore I think it's on that level, a lot of people just haven't really considered it or thought about themselves within that conversation.
Yeah, I think just fake tan as a whole is so normalized in society that a lot of people just do it without thinking that it might have repercussions. And I mean, you've mentioned, obviously, there's the hypocrisy there of, you know, you have people bullied and treated appallingly and suffering racism because of their skin color. And then you have other people, white people, being heaped with praise for changing their skin color. And do you mind explaining why fake tan harms people of color so much, aside from the obvious?
I think that's a multi-layered answer. You know, on like a broad scale, there's a lot of issues with, it's upholding a lot of issues to do with colorism. It's upholding a lot of issues to do with representation. It's upholding a lot of issues to do with how we judge each other and just the sort of hierarchy of skin color. And then on a personal level, it's creating a lot of issues for people who are lacking representation. You know, it's creating, like, even just on a very personal level, like I was saying, my experiences with the sort of confusion. And each of those things that I've just mentioned is like a much bigger conversation, really, we, you know, needs to be had around that. I think the ways in which this seemingly insidious thing is really reinforcing a lot of harmful narratives. For me, I don't have like a particular horse in the race, as it were, but I do think what I've noticed from my followers is just the level of internal negative narrative that has been propped up around fake tan. And so I kind of feel like that to me is something that maybe would be worth dissecting on a sort of larger level or in a larger conversation.
You mentioned being in disbelief when someone asked you what fake tan you had on, baffled by your skin's like streak-free appearance. do you think that ties into the overall argument you've been making, and how did that make you feel at the time as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think even like this kind of answers the last question as well, but even just outside of fake tan used as like a tool within a broader frame of like how people are changing the way they look, it can contribute to issues such as blackfishing, like we sort of touched on. And I think that specific incident, there's so many issues out of that, because it's like, okay, first of all, do you only know people that are this color who are fake tanned? Like, have you never met or seen anyone this color? If so, like, you know, is that a representation issue? Why are there not people my color on TV or in film? Or what is so groundbreaking about somebody just being a different color that this person felt the need to comment on it and was kind of like in disbelief, like, what, how can you be that color all over? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And they meant it as a compliment. They were like, oh, it's such a lovely color, like, you're that color all over. And I kind of didn't really know how to take that, because it's like, I don't know, it's just my skin, like
like, well, it doesn't feel like a compliment, like, you, this is so problematic in so many ways, and you just have to, you know, how did you respond to someone when they said that to you?
I think I was just like, what do you mean? Like, at first I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you know, your stomach is like the same color as your arms. Like, there's no streaks. It's just all the same color. And I was like, what? And it genuinely took me like a couple minutes. I think then we were backstage or something, so they disappeared. And if you've been backstage, very chaotic place to be. So they had to like run off and, I don't know, deal with repairing someone else's costume or something. And I was kind of turning that over in my head, and I was like, what are they on about? And then someone else was like, oh, you know, because like, it's not streaky, like, it's not fake tan. And they were like, because obviously you haven't fake tan, you just are that color. And I was like, that's what that comment meant. Like, what the heck? Like, it was so bonkers to me. And this was not when I was 12. This was like, I don't know, 2014. I was like, what are you on about? So it's just very confusing. And I don't know if there were quite a few comments like that about different aspects of my appearance during that time. And I don't think I ever fully had a response, because oftentimes if you're going to respond to something like that, there is maybe a need or an expectation for some sort of conversation. And that's not necessarily what I want to engage in that moment. And I have had similar experiences. I think that was the one I decided to put in my book and in the article, because it's the most sort of succinct. But yeah, it's never not a weird experience, I think, to receive that sort of a comment.
And when you did your poll, you said that you received, you know, a lot of similar stories from your followers who had people comment on their skin, and again, assume they'd used fake tan and that. But you also had a lot of white women saying they had this pressure, this need, they felt like, to be attractive, they had to do this, or they had to do it because their parents are putting pressure on them, or they had, you know, it was just societally what they were expected to do. And you talk a lot about how it's a shame white women feel the need to fake tan for body confidence as well. Why can't everyone just accept the skin they're in? Do you think that's a really important point to moving past fake tan usage in general, is that people just have to accept they look how they look? You know, like, and that's, they should embrace that. And that's a wonderful thing.
I think maybe, yeah, to some degree, like, I don't know, I appreciate it sounds a bit blunt, like, you look how you look, get over it. Like, do you know, like, a lot of people have had these sort of like horrible narratives propped up, or there's a lot to work through. And obviously I appreciate that as well. Like, everyone's got their own stuff to work through. You know, people have their own hangups or whatever with their appearance. And I do understand that. I think maybe for a lot of people, it's maybe just a question of asking themselves, like, hang on, why am I doing this? Like, do I genuinely feel like I'm a better person, or like I'm prettier, or I don't know, whatever things I aspire to be? Do I feel like this serves me in my pursuit of that? I don't know. Maybe it's a case of even beyond that, just asking themselves, like, why? Why do I feel like this makes me look a certain way? You know, why do I feel the need to fake tan beyond, I don't know, a certain level, or to fake tan for certain events? That was something that came up a lot with my followers, where people were like, okay, I don't really use fake tan anymore, but if I'm going to a family event or a family wedding, then I would get the fake tan out because I just feel like it's required. And I don't know, like, maybe in that scenario, asking yourself why. Like, it's kind of a difficult thing for me to think about, because it's just not it's not something I've grown up with. Obviously, like, I've never fake tanned and I've not had that pressure with my family. It's just quite far from my own experience. But it is something that when I talked about it with my followers, so many white women had the same experience and did talk about, like, oh, you know, my mum would compare me and my sisters in terms of like who was the most tanned or something. And now people don't even think. There was one person who was like, now people don't even believe me and my sister are related because she's really like kept up the fake tan and people always think that she's like my half sister or something because we don't look the same race. And I was like, that's obviously a very extreme example, but that can't be the only person that has that experience. And I don't know, it made me feel very sad that so many people feel like there is something so literally unsightly. Like they cannot be seen with their normal skin. That's messed up. And then I think, like I said in the article, when I started thinking about it a bit more, it's like, well, someone's profiting from all of that anxiety and pain, and it doesn't sit right with me. It's yet another thing about the whole fake tan world, which to my mind is messed up.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you've said, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I haven't. I used to work at a beauty salon and I would get fake tans because my colleagues would be like, we're bored. Do you want a fake tan? And I'd be like, sure. You know, at the time I was like, oh, brilliant. I look healthy. I look bronzed. And you mentioned in your piece and you've mentioned before that there is this language that's being used when white women get fake tans or they're tanned, that they look healthy, they look bronzed, they look, you know, like a goddess. It's really unhealthy in multiple ways, and that, you know, it perpetuates this feedback loop, which you mentioned in your piece, where women start to feel reliant on this to feel good. They see other celebrities, white celebrities, being praised for looking tanned and thinking that that's what they need to aspire to. But also it kind of, you know, it symbolizes a hypocrisy of it. People of color are criticized and treated differently because of their skin color. You then have white women praised for bronzed and healthy. And I think your piece captured multiple things. There are so many different strains to fake tanning. There is the privilege aspect. There is the body confidence aspect. And is that something that you really want to address, and you want to send a message that there are multiple ways that you should feel uncomfortable with fake tans? And we need to take an issue with the companies who are selling this and making this seem normalized when actually it's really not. It shouldn't become normalized in the first place.
Yeah, that's really interesting line of thought. I mean, I don't think I have a specific kind of message. Oh, obviously, my personal opinion, do I use fake tan? No. Do I agree with it? No. But I'm not like, I don't feel like it's my life's mission to abolish the fake tan industry. You know, I've just found it to be like an interesting conversation that it has intersected with my life in sort of, I don't know, interesting ways, like as a writer, as a person leading conversations with my followers, it's something that I think has been just an interesting world to sort of stumble upon and discuss. The thing that just really struck me in both the conversations was there was so much pain and there was so much like hurt and there was so many feelings of just being unworthy and like feeling unconfident, feeling ugly. And that wasn't just from white people who use fake tan, but there was a lot of mixed people or people of color who were perhaps lighter skinned than some of their family members. And they had these sort of very complex feelings as well. I think this is something that I said in the article, if not, I definitely said it in my book, where I did have a point in my early teens where I was like, hang on, like I'm darker than everyone else, which is why I get bullied. But if everyone else is now my shade, what am I supposed to be? Because like, surely I'm still supposed to be darker than you because, you know, I'm half Mauritian. None of you are. Like it just, and then it was like, do I need to use fake tan so I can be like ahead of you? Because there's supposed to be this gap between it. Like you're not supposed to be my shit. It's a very confusing time. And there was so many mixed people that wrote in and had similar stories of just being like, well, everyone at my school fake tanned. And then like my friends would be like, oh, we're your shade or we're darker than you. And then they were like, well, hang on, what's going on? Should we be a different color or whatever? And there was just so much like pain and hurt and feelings of insecurities, I guess, that came out. And I just thought, like, who is this serving? And the answer to that is the people who profit selling fake tan. They are the people served by all of this insecurity and anxiety and, I don't know, consideration that people put into fake tan. a lot of people describe, like, oh, I would wake up or I would strategically fake tan at certain hours so I was the right color for blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Jesus, like, there's so much brain space dedicated to topping up the fake tan every week or whatever it is. And I think if it's helping people to accept who they are, you don't want to just dismiss that. But ultimately, who is profiting from this? The answer is there are a lot of people profiting from you feeling unworthy in your own skin. Wouldn't it be great if we could not have that, or we could overcome that?
Another point that you made in the article, which was quite interesting, was the fact that societally, you know, there is condemnation for skin bleaching. There is condemnation for the opposite side of it. And people can see quite clearly that this is, you know, making profiting off women's insecurities, and it also sets quite like a dangerous precedent. Why is, in your mind, fake tanning actually not that dissimilar to that practice?
I think both skin bleaching and fake tanning are upholding ideas of colorism. They're both saying this skin color is better than that skin color. This is worth more than this other skin color. You know, it's kind of two sides of the same coin, really. I think there is a lot of, again, something I found in these conversations, especially in the Western world, people were really quick to be like, oh, well, obviously skin bleaching is really bad. I would never do that. But fake tanning is not harmful at all. That also speaks to a form of ingrained racism. Like, what these people are doing is bad. What we're doing is fine. Like, our version is okay and we can just do it. And the versions that exist in other cultures and other communities is a thing to be criticized, and we should hold this up and be like, look how terrible this is. There was a sort of snobbery there that came out from a lot of people. A lot of people also wanted to pin like skin bleaching as being, oh, it's this awful thing for your health, but fake tanning is totally fine. And it took me like maybe 3 seconds on Google to find numerous articles of people who've had issues from using sunbeds, from using tanning pills, from using tanning injections, whatever. For me, that just also comes back down to racism. Like, why are we so, people feel so emboldened to criticize the skin bleaching practices of other countries without sort of holding a mirror up to like, well, what are we doing with the fake tan over here? Everyone, let's maybe talk about this.
And it kind of ties into, you obviously got a backlash when you've, you know, brought up the way that the disparity in which those two issues are treated. But you also, I'm really sorry, got a backlash to your piece. And do you mind telling me a bit about that?
Yeah, I just, it was kind of bonkers. I have been trolled before for various things, but that one was kind of especially nuts. I think there is something about fake tan, which I still haven't worked out what it is, but there's something about it which feels extremely personal to a lot of people, maybe because it's part of their sort of, for a lot of people, it's part of their like beauty routine, or they consider it part of their daily routine. I don't know, but it really did seem to hit a nerve. And I was expecting some commentary, just because, as I said, the very first time I had this discussion with my followers, it wasn't intended as a discussion at all. I made this offhand comment and it just got so much response. I was like, whoa, okay, there's something here that is a big thing for a lot of people. So I was expecting some comments and feedback when the article came out. I think the bigger thing for me was so many people commented on the original article. They were just sort of commenting on the headline, which the headline is like, we know the answer to the headline. The answer is racism. But so many people jumped in and were like, ah, but I'm a white person and I feel very anxious about my skin color, so I should be allowed to use fake tan. And it was kind of like, if you read the article, I talk about you directly. I addressed that stance specifically because I knew that perspective existed because of the conversations I've had about it. So I think a lot of the noise was people that just saw a headline and decided to be angry, which kind of sums up a lot of people on the internet, for better or worse, I think.
Yeah. And what would you say to, if any of, you know, anyone who read that article before when it first went out, or anyone who's a new listener and is feeling particularly riled up by this discussion, what would you say to them if they're listening now?
I think everything I said, pretty much everything I've said in that article, I've not read it since it came out, but we'll probably stand by the majority of it. I understand it can be hard when things feel personal. It can be very hard to sort of look at it objectively. And that's something I've had to work through on a lot of issues at length, you know, which is why I wrote my book. And I do understand when people feel like, wow, this is this personal thing. And you're just out of nowhere attacking me and my personal thing. And it doesn't hurt anyone. And it's just a thing that I do. And it makes me feel good about myself. So what's the harm? And it's like people really want to like barricade themselves from having to place themselves or contextualize themselves amongst a larger conversation, like a society-wide conversation. It was really interesting. I was talking to my followers. I was like one of, was the only brown girl in my year at school, and there were not that many girls across the whole school who were not white. And there was a lot of comments that came in from people who were like, yeah, I was the only brown girl or the only non-white person at my school, and everyone else fake tanned. Whereas schools where there was maybe more mix in the demographics of the school, it wasn't quite as much of an issue. And I thought that was quite interesting, because it's almost like people do know there's an issue. They're just sort of silently avoiding it, or subconsciously it's like, okay, well, if it's mostly white people here, that's fine. We can fake tan in peace. If we're amongst people of other skin tones, you know, we're hanging out with black and brown people, then it's not something we can just freely talk about. Or it suggests on some level they're at least aware there is maybe an issue there. They're just not willing to sort of confront it. I would say, why? Why is that? You know, what are you afraid of discovering?
I mean, it's hard to acknowledge your privilege, but you have privilege and it's worth acknowledging it if it makes other people's lives easier and better, and, you know, trying to understand other people's perspectives as well. So I think that's a really great point. I hope there was some good amongst the awful comments as well. Did you get anyone reaching out saying they agreed to the article, or saying, oh, I hadn't thought about fake tanning in this way before, I'm going to change my ways?
Yeah, I did have a fair amount of those. I think for me, I'm a person that has been talking on my platform for like many years about issues to do with not just sort of fake tan or beauty things, but issues to do with like race or like colonial history, gender, or all sorts of different topics. I think for me, I'm interested in the conversations. Like, obviously I have my own set of lived experiences, but I'm interested in the ways we think around these things. And so it's not especially unusual, or I guess there's been a lot of things that I've spoken about with my followers which have prompted people to get in touch and be like, oh my gosh, this made me think. Here's my whole story. Or like, here's what I think about all these things that you just said, or this really made me think, or this really made me want to change my opinions or change my behaviors around this thing. And that it's never my intention to like change what people do, or like, you know, I'm not the world expert in like, how should we behave or go through life? I'm just interested in these conversations and like we're all trying to be the best versions of ourselves we can.
Thanks for listening to my platform. Please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps people to find the podcast. Our main aim with this podcast is to give a platform to unheard voices, offering human first stories. Layla's book, Not Quite White, is available to buy online and in bookshops, and you can follow them on social media at Layla Wuzir. We'd love to hear if Layla's story helped shape your worldview. If so, please let us know on Twitter at Metro Opinion, or by email at platform@metro.co.uk. My platform is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. I'm Jess Austin. Thanks for listening.